Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
What up? What's happening? Welcome inside the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. If you can't tell by the opening soundtrack, Youngest and Charles and O. Willingham taking you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to our pal Craig Hoffman. Number to call is 301-230-0980. Mad Max behind the glass taking your calls at that very number. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. You hear that, Laramie?
We got a lot to conversate about.
If you want to hear the conversation, if you want to keep the conversation going, you can get at me at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. A heck of a lot to get to here on this Friday. We will talk about Dratzo a little bit and what happened last night. I have talked a lot about ratings over the past week, to the chagrin of many I know. What the hell was that last night, Max? Thriller.
Yeah, dude, you're a little... This is game four.
It's been like this all
the
three
first two games.
The first two games. So, last night, let's try to... I'm going to do my best Chris Russell impersonation here. Let's try to set the scene in the proper way.
Sure.
So, last night, Edmonton gets off to... Excuse me.
Edmonton Florida gets off to a slow start.
To a slow, super slow start. Florida gets off to a 3-0 lead. Then in that third period, you saw Edmonton, you know, light the lamp three different times. They both score one in the third period. And then in the waning moments of OT.
The final second.
The final seconds of OT. Dratzo? Was it Dratzo? Was it Dratzo?
That's how you say his name.
I'm doing my best Mad Doggy impersonation. I know there's a sound drop in there of Mad Dog saying, Dratzo!
I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
It's in there deep in the archives from that psycho Matthew Essick. He clipped that off. But, no, this is why the folks, and I've realized what it is. If you are a diehard hockey fan and a diehard basketball fan, you just can't like the other sport. It's almost like it's law at this point in time. But, no, to your point, Max, this series now tied at 2 games apiece. It has been fireworks in each of the first 4 games. And coming up on, what is it, tomorrow? We get game number 5, and this thing is in Edmonton. And it'll be curious to see how things ultimately play out. There it is.
Found it.
So I'm all of a sudden going to be paying attention to the Stanley Cup Finals. Better late than never, right?
Yes. Listen.
Yeah.
As long as you're there for the elimination games when it gets down to, like, game 7, you're in for some cinema.
That's what matters. NBA Finals continue tonight as well. Game 4 of the Finals tonight from Indiana Pacers with a 2-1 series lead. I know there was a lot made about their fourth quarter run the other night. And, you know, Tyrese Halliburton and Benedict Mathurin and TJ McConnell doing what you need to do to advance and win the NBA Finals. I think, despite Oklahoma City being down 2-1, I still think they will ultimately win this series because I think they have the best player in this series, talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So we'll talk about the NBA Finals as we roll throughout the show as well. I don't know if you all got to this yesterday, Max. There is drama in Cincinnati.
Oh, there's no shortage of drama in Cincinnati.
No shortage of drama in Cincinnati with Shamar Stewart, their first-round pick, going home. He's taking his ball and going home.
I'm out.
Because of some, you know, issues within the rookie contract. The Bengals, if you remember, I don't know how much of a hard knock sicko you were. Andre Smith Mm-hmm. Early 2000s Hard Knocks with the Bengals had this exact same situation, but the difference is they have now, talking about the NFL, they have now implemented a CBA to where these things aren't supposed to happen. So the fact that Cincinnati is essentially penny pinching in this situation is ugly because you're doing it with a guy that I thought would be your Trey Hendrickson replacement. You're doing it with the guy that I thought would make you look smart for not paying one of the game's best edge rushers over the past several seasons. So, all interesting. We'll go around the National Football League coming up top of the 3 o'clock hour. Our pal Mike Jones of The Athletic going to join us as well at about 2:30, but there's something I got to get off my chest to start the show here. Because
what would that be, Linnell?
Well, I want to do this the right way because a lot of the time, and I'm learning, right? I am learning in this sports media space. I am not a finished product.
We're always learning on the fly around here.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how it goes.
Not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know this. When something doesn't smell like roses, my nose turns up. That was the case for me out at mandatory minicamp the past couple of days, and I will expound upon it here. So let's just go back to 2 weeks ago when the first hubbub was made about Marshawn Lattimore, Terry McLaurin, and Laremy Tunsil not showing up to the voluntary work. We knew why Terry wasn't there. We pretty much knew why Marshawn and Laremy weren't there either, because it's what they did. It's what their history, you know, showed them to do in their previous destinations. When Tunsil was in Houston, he didn't show up to voluntary OTAs. When Marshawn was in New Orleans, he didn't show up to voluntary OTAs. And that's okay. It's fine. I let it go. I had one day to fret over it. Got a bunch of clicks on social media. Then I put it on the back burner. Because in reality, it's really not that big of a deal. You know what is a big deal? When you show up to mandatory minicamp. When you show up to mandatory minicamp, and then you don't participate fully. So Marshawn Lattimore got the chance to actually catch up with him walking into the building, and I introduced the nickname that you all want me to introduce to him. And when I say you all, it's a certain contingent of you out on social media. That's Southeast Sean from now on. Marshawn Lattimore is Southeast Sean from here on out. You should have saw. He had a grin from here all the way damned to New Orleans when I said that to him. And it was cool. First and foremost, I always say, like, I'm not shy about interacting with guys. So when I caught Marshawn Lattimore, he was walking out of the bubble with Jordan McGee, Washington's second-year linebacker. I got the chance to catch up with both of them briefly for about 4 to 5 minutes, just talking shop, BSing completely. And, you know, Marshawn asked, well, where'd the nickname come from? And I said, man, it's because your play style, man. On social media, you got that dog in you. Everybody sees it. And, you know, when you're not, I know you're not familiar with the DMV like that, but I think if you were to describe a resident of Southeast D.C., hard hat wearing, lunch pail toting, just full of grit. And I think that's what Marshawn Lattimore, you know, has and what he will bring to this defense. So it was cool catching up with him on that. We now fast forward to the practice field, and Marshawn Lattimore is out there. The picture that's gone viral is him climbing the ladder to catch the interception. He participated in both practices, didn't miss a rep, went through team drills, went through his individual stuff, was working with defensive backs coach Jason Simmons. It was great. His counterpart, though, that also did not show up to voluntary minicamp, Laremy Tunsil. There's more to the Laremy Tunsil thing, in my opinion, than that's being reported, is how I would put it. And I will be open, honest, and transparent here. There's a lot of speculation going on my behalf, but I'm reading the tea leaves of what I saw with my own two eyes. And I guess that's my frustration. When I brought this up last night on Overtime, there was a bunch of pushback and people saying, well, why do you care? Why do you care? If it was John Keim, if it was Nikki Javala, if it was Ben Standing that put out the information that I'm about to put out to you, social media would be in a damn frenzy. You can't tell me what I saw because I was out there. Through 2 days of mandatory minicamp work, Laremy Tunsil, on day one, participated in individual drills for about 30 seconds, going at 45% speed, is how I would describe it. And then he didn't participate in the team drills at all, so much so that Andrew Wiley's lining up at left tackle because Laremy Tunsil wasn't participating. He was on the side working with trainers, doing some conditioning. I don't know what it was. Here's the thing, though. The very next practice was the first thing that I noticed. Well, there's no Laremy Tunsil out here. Where, oh, where is Laremy Tunsil? And then I see a contingent of, you know, staffers for the Commanders coming out of the building about 20 minutes into practice with Laremy Tunsil next to them. Because you know what I'm doing. I'm, hey, did you notice Laramie's not out here? I'm asking everybody, all the beat guys. Did you notice Laremy's not out here? Where's Laremy? Where's Laremy? I didn't even put out the tweet because I said, I want to make sure everything is everything. Because you never know with this stuff. Laremy Tunsil then comes out and it's tweeted out by Nikki Javala. It's announced by the team that Laremy Tunsil is getting a veteran rest day. A veteran rest day. After not participating in day one at all, pretty much, he gets a veteran rest day on day two. So my whole thing is this. There's one or two things that are happening right now with Laremy Tunsil. Only one of two things can be true. He is either out of shape or he's injured. Both of which are reasons why he should have been here during the voluntary workouts. Because if you're hurt, I want my trainers with their eyes on you, making sure everything is everything. And if you're out of shape, I want you here in the building getting in shape, brother. You pick up what I'm putting down here. What other reason would he not participate in pretty much either of the mandatory practices? Here's the other thing. Javon Kinlaw, he's nicked up. He's dealing with an injury. He's on the practice field in a jersey and a helmet going through stuff. In a jersey working with the trainers on the side. He didn't get a veteran rest day. And I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. I'm just being inquisitive here because I'm concerned is too strong of a word. I have questions because I still find it very hard to believe that despite him being an all-pro caliber tackle, despite him being a perennial pro bowler, they trashed him out of Houston on the way out like he was a first-round bust. They treated him on the way out of Houston. That's like us here in Washington when Trent Williams requested the trade. We know what he went through. That's like us here in Washington throwing tomatoes at him on the way out.
You and I were doing the show. We were doing an overtime a couple months ago, mm-hmm. back when the trade had happened. And we had Sean Pendergast on the show.
Yes.
And he said kind of the same thing. He said what everybody was saying in Houston was that Laremy Tunsil just wasn't a leader. He wasn't producing. It was the false starts. There were a lot of inconsistencies and a lot of frustration
for sure
in the fan base.
And I was stunned by it, so much so that I'm like pushing back at Sean, like, hey, dude, like this dude's a multi-time Pro Bowler. Like he's an all pro caliber dude. For my money, you can't name me four left tackles in the NFL better than Laremy Tunsil. You just can't. So I know he could play. But why would the Texans trade him?
The scuttlebutt at the time was that they wanted to kind of rebuild the offensive line.
The offensive line by getting rid of your most prized piece.
Because they thought that he would be more of a leader on the offensive line. And when that didn't happen, they were like, all right, we got to kind of retool here, figure it out. Let's get what we can for him and ship him off.
Beautiful thing is this. I don't need him to be a leader here in Washington.
Correct.
I don't need him to be a leader at all.
We got plenty of those.
I'd like him to be.
Nice.
Considering he's, you know, opposite our rookie right tackle,
said
Josh Connelly
Jr.
He did say it was a dog. We'll let you hear from Laremy a little bit later on in the show. But
you heard from Laremy a lot today.
Yes, you will. And I think we may be hearing from him coming up sooner rather than later. I don't know, man. It's just, am I fretting this too much? Do you understand? This is what you call investigative journalism, people. There is something that I noticed that I guess others didn't, and I'm speaking on it.
It's the Brian Windhorst meme. Fingers up.
You know?
You are the resident noticer in our office. I don't know. I'm not overly concerned by it just because this is all optional stuff and we're months out and he was there. He wasn't like not showing up, but again, the lack of work is cause for some concern. But I try my best to remain level headed about things like this. If we get to camp and it's clear, like, oh man, he looks. Ooh.
Well, that'll be the telltale sign.
We'll find out. If he's on U Street during training camp, I might start to be a little less in on Laramie Tunsil.
Well, I need him to be hydrated during camp. That's for sure. And I know it ain't many hydration stations out on U Street. So that just is what it is. Laramie Tunsil got a vet rest day. Yes, on what was it, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
There you go.
Didn't really participate in practice at all on Tuesday, and I am questioning why that is. To me, like I said, it's one or two things. He's either hurt or he's out of shape, both of which would have been damn good reasons to show up for the voluntary OTAs. Just getting rolling, though. Here on the Chris Russell Show, right here on the Team 980, Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris as we take you up to 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman will take you on your afternoon drive. You can call us, 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, that's right. I was boots out on the ground, out in Ashburn over the past 3 days. I will empty out my Commander's minicamp notebook next here on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
301-230-0980, the number, right here on the Chris Russell Show. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris. We take you up to 4 p.m. Craig Hoffman takes you on your afternoon drive home. A lot to get to. Right now, we're going to get into the burgundy and gold. I want to continue to empty out my Washington Commanders mandatory minicamp notebook. Let's preface everything I'm about to say with this. I get it, right? What's the DOC like to say? The underwear Olympics, it's helmets. It's jerseys, it's shorts, but to think that you can't take anything away from these sessions at this point in the offseason would just be foolish. First thing that stands out to me, vibes are sky high. Vibes are sky high, especially yesterday. Like, they just look like a team that likes being around each other. And when you think about the environment that Dan Quinn has fostered in Ashburn, you saw it last year, their ability to outkick their coverage at pretty much every position, their ability to get the absolute best out of everyone at every position is a byproduct of the camaraderie that they have fostered within that building. Guys don't want to let the man next to them down. And I think that's the common misconception here, right? Dan Quinn gets a lot of credit because he deserves it all. But I'll be real with you, right? If you were to ask a player, I don't think anybody would say, yeah, we're playing for DQ. No, you're not playing for DQ. Yes, you are, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Unintentionally, you're playing for DQ, but you're playing for the guy next to you, right? Put your office place in perspective. Let's put this office place in perspective. If I didn't have an absolute admiration for everybody that I work with, you think I would go balls to the wall and go hard every day? Probably not, right? If our program director hadn't fostered an environment where pretty much everybody gets along with each other, everybody's helping each other out, you think we would have the success we're having here as a station? Probably not.
Took a lot of effort to get us there.
Took a lot of effort to get us here. And it's, you know, we got new hosts being introduced, there are new personalities being engaged, and everyone's able to grow because of the environment that was fostered here. I think you can say the same thing about Ashburn. And yes, Dan Quinn gets a lot of credit, but I think the veteran leaders that they have deserve a ton of credit as well. Bobby Wagner, Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler, right? And when you talk about Ertz and Wagner, these are two guys that have climbed the top of the mountaintop. They've played in a championship before. So they get it. They get it. And the trickle-down effect that it had last year, going back and looking at it in hindsight, it's even more impressive. But let's get to the real X's and O evaluations here. I think everyone to a man feels like this is going to be a team that, if they're able to stay healthy, will be in that championship conversation come late December, early January. And a big reason for that is the quarterback. He looks poised to build off of last year. I mean, it's getting to watch him up close in person, you really get to grow an appreciation for it. Ball placement, accuracy, making tight window throws, looking guys off. There was a play he had on Wednesday where it's like, oh, I forgot he can run as well. They're running read option. defensive end crashes, defense is flowing to the right. Next thing you know, five is off to the races to the left. Would have been a 60-yard touchdown. He is going to be special next year. And I know there's a lot of conversation in Scuttlebutt about, well, does he take a step back? Can he possibly replicate last year? Yes. And as we sit here on June the 13th, I'll take it a step further. Not only does he replicate last year's success, I think he's better. I think he's better. It may not be as many rushing yards, but I damn sure know this passing game is going to be electric. I damn sure know he's going to be better as a thrower.
Do you want it to be more rushing yards? Because I kind of
don't. I don't. I'm A-okay if it's a 650-yard season for him on the ground.
Sure.
700 yards.
Listen, that'd be a success to me as long as he throws for 3,500.
That's all I need. Well, here's the thing. When you think about the rushing totals going down, I think in turn the passing yards go up.
Yeah.
And when you add a bookend tackle like Laremy Tunsil and you add a highly touted draft prospect at tackle and Josh Connerly, I think this offensive line is going to be much improved, and it will give Jaden time to push the ball downfield. One thing that was very evident last year, specifically down the stretch when guys started getting banged up, it was very clear to me, and this is no indictment of Jaden, he didn't trust the offensive line. He was bailing, and he scrambled a lot more down the stretch. That Falcons game, think about it. He strapped the team to his back like a damn jetpack and said, come on. I'm taking you to the promised land. There were times last year where Cliff Kingsbury, that evil genius, calling plays offensively, schemed guys open down the field, and there were deep shots that were missed. And it's not an indictment on Jaden. It's not that he's a bad quarterback. He was young. Now he's a year older, a year more experienced in this offense, hopefully with more time to throw it. I think they connect on some of those deep shots down the field, and they need to, because the way that they lived last year offensively, I don't think it's sustainable, talking about 15, 16 play drives, you know, time in and time out. They're going to need to cheat a little bit and steal some yards via the chunk play. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be in a perfect position to do that. He looks good, man. Looks bigger. Ball placement still there. He made a couple of really just nasty tight window red zone throws. One to John Bates, of all people. Noah Brown, who we'll get to in a second. He hooked up with him in the back of the end zone on the first day of practice. And you can just tell he's comfortable with everybody that they have out there. My next observation is this. After the injury to Noah Brown, and they're in 7-on-7. It's either Marcus Mariota or Jaden Daniels at quarterback. I can't even remember now to this point.
Standing set at Mariota.
So it was Mariota. He throws the ball to Noah Brown, and Will Harris is kind of bearing down over the top of him, and you could tell right away that something was off. But here's the thing that stunned me. It's not like Noah was down for some super extended period of time. He was helped over to the sideline and then ended up being carted off of the field. Now, where we were standing relative to the practice is right near where they walk out of the locker room. And there's a bump that the cart hit because it's not like a flat surface. It had to happen. And it sent chills up my spine, the audible scream that Noah Brown let out. And you understood at that point in time, this was something that could potentially be severe. Now, I'm not going to speculate. He had an MRI yesterday. We're still awaiting word as to the severity of it. We may not get it because they don't have to give us any injury update at this point in the summer. And I don't think we are going to get one. It's probably why Laremy Tunsil doesn't have an injury designation on him. Because there's no way. Now I'm back on Laremy. It's no way.
All roads lead back.
You know what I'm saying? All roads lead back to Tunsilville.
Yeah.
But no, the wide receiver group, I think, is the most interesting position group on this team now. One guy that stood out to me, and I've tried to cut him already multiple times this offseason. If you all listen to me regularly here on 980 and also on The Fan, with the depth that they added, I thought Luke McCaffrey's roster spot could be in jeopardy. He's been one of the biggest beneficiaries of Terry McLaurin not being on the field. He's made plays each and every practice. I don't know if it's him in this sleek 11 jersey just looking more fly.
It's the Edelman number.
Come on, man. It's the Edelman number. Talking about Luke McCaffrey. He's made big-time plays every practice. There was a play where Marshawn Lattimore is covering him, and he, to his credit, kind of lost Marshawn Lattimore. And I think he deserves credit for that. Like, this is the thing with Luke. and what we need to see from him. It's about play strength. It's about him getting off of press man coverage, and it's about him being able to give good faith effort as a blocker in the run game. As a route runner, as a receiver, woof, white chocolate. He's got hips, people. I was really, really impressed with him over the first couple of days. And I get it, right? It's camp. It's mandatory mini camp. There's no pads on, but he looks like somebody that could be in line for a big step forward next year. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, post-practice, actually got the opportunity, you know, to shed a little bit of light, give a little bit of love to our guy Luke McCaffrey. It is DQ on Luke McCaffrey from year one to year number two. I think everybody in that building, to a man, understands that this young man could be in a breakout position next year.
Going into year one with Luke, there was never a question like how hard, you know, he was going. It's like a golden retriever and a tennis ball. He throw it, he went and pick it up, and he's running back, and he's like the tail's wagging, and throw it again, and he goes, and he's like just like you, he couldn't go hard enough. Like he was so committed to being a competitor that there was nothing like his limit of how he can go physically. It's way out there. Like he is very tough minded. What I saw this year was like the detail and footwork of route running, and it was so evident of the work that he put in during his time away from here. And then so to see that come to life, I didn't really need to see what the competitor was. Like I already knew, like this guy is an absolute dog. So then to see the technique and the footwork to go with it, that made me really smile. Because if the competitor's right and you can match the skill part to it, man, you really have something. And if you've got good skill, but the competitor's not right, it's really hard to be an exceptional. Because when it gets really hard, that's when you need the absolute dog the most. And there's some plays in the NFL that are really hard. 7-on-7 and throwing against zone and routes on air, there's a lot of people in America can do that. It gets hard and somebody's pressing you man-to-man and you break them off and win and after a catch, like those are the things that I've seen from him this offseason as a really polished receiver. Was I surprised that he did it? No, because I knew he's a person, if I go back to the competitor, like he's going to find a way or make a way. And he found a way to get those things just right because he was fairly new at the position, you know, from being in college, transferring, even playing quarterback there and moving to receiver. So Adam's vision was there earlier, you know, that he saw the Senior Bowl, the competitor. Then I got to see that to say, okay, I see it too. And then I knew spending time with Bobby that would take place to go there. And so it was cool to see him coming into year two as a really polished route runner.
I mean, we've listened to Dan Quinn multiple different times this offseason. Has he went into this great of detail about a player this offseason yet? No. They are really, really anticipating Luke McCaffrey taking a step forward. And, you know, one of the benefits of – and look, obviously you want Terry's deal to get done. But it's more reps for Luke. It's more reps for Jalen Lane. It's more reps for the other guys. And, look, the old adage that I go with, you're either going to shake a leg or lose one. Point blank. Right now, Luke McCaffrey shaking a leg. He is making the most of his opportunity. And maybe, just maybe – I know Denton Day's out there listening somewhere. We're going to hammer that Luke McCaffrey anytime touchdown bet this year. This
yeah,
is the
we
year.
Are. Yes, we are.
This is the year. 301-230-0980 is the number. When we come back, we'll see if our guy Mad Max can get this thing cleaned up. Laramie Tunsil with an Instagram post directed at your boy. It's officially dropped from his page.
Uh-oh.
It's next here on the Team 980.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
301-230-0980 is the number. Right here on the Chris Russell Show. Youngest in Charles and L. Willingham sitting in for the Rooster. And boy, did he not know what was coming during these 3 hours. We opened up the show talking about some of my observations from Commander's Mandatory Minicamp. One of which was that Laramie Tunsil was not a participant in team drills. He wasn't a participant in individual drills. And on the second day of mandatory minicamp, he got a veteran rest day. You know what's not resting? Laramie Tunsil's Instagram fingers. You know what's not resting? Laramie Tunsil's social media team. Keep the main thing, LT. I'm rooting for you, brother. I'm just going to ask the questions that maybe others are afraid to. See, I continue to go back to what I said to open up the show, and I'm not trying to make this me versus Laramie Tunsil. I don't want that at all. I'm happy we have Laramie Tunsil. I think he's great. Max, you know it. I came off the top rope defending Laramie Tunsil when Sean Pendergrass from Houston was lighting his ass up on these airwaves. I was the guy that stood up for Laramie Tunsil when all they were doing was talking about him jumping off sides and being a me guy. I'm the guy. But old Laramie didn't like that I came with some truth serum. Old Laramie didn't like that I'm shooting from the hip. It is what it is, brother. And I'm going to continue to shoot from the hip because guess what? Guess the hell what? Marshawn Lattimore didn't show up to voluntary workouts. Guess what he did during mandatory workouts? He participated. Not Laramie Tunsil. And I just have questions as to why. I don't want to speculate too much, but like I said before, when you don't show up to voluntary workouts and then when you get to the facility for the mandatory session and you can't participate in team and you barely participate in individuals and you're on the side field during team doing sprints, you're either out of shape or you're hurt. Both of which would be, you know, probably a little bit of a problem for Laramie Tunsil. Now, we're a long ways away before it really counts, right? We're a long ways away from training camp. But it's something that I'll be monitoring. I'm flattered by it. Give me all the clout. I'll take it 110%, seven days out of the week, twice on Sundays. But come on, Laramie. At least he's a Drake stan. That may be one area me and Laramie could get down with. I'm a Drake stan too, brother. Diplomatic immunity, a banger. I can't believe it. 301-230-0980 is the number. Max, I know you're over there efforting to try and clean up the Instagram post so we could play it for you all. But I do want to get back into emptying my Washington Commanders mandatory minicamp notebook. Talked about Luke McCaffrey in great detail. So did Dan Quinn. Because he looks like a young man that is poised for a big-time breakout in 2025. And I say this all the time. This job that we get to do is the absolute best in the world. It's the only job where you can be absolutely wrong and keep your chair. We're like weathermen. After the draft, when this team selected Jalen Lane, I immediately thought that Luke McCaffrey's roster spot could potentially be in jeopardy. That's what I thought. I was proven wrong over the first couple of practices of the offseason. You go back to last week with the voluntary OTAs and then this week with the mandatory minicamp, Luke McCaffrey's on one. Luke McCaffrey has a point to prove, and we played that Dan Quinn sound for you in the last segment. He's on board with it as well. Marshawn Lattimore looked explosive and ready. Marshawn Lattimore looked like the player that Washington thought they were getting at the trade deadline. And look, I think Marshawn Lattimore deserves a bunch of kudos for pushing through that injury the way that he did last year. Pushing through that injury the way he did last year, I think, should be commended. Max, if we're able to play this real quick, Marshawn Lattimore Wednesday, spoke about, you know, him pressing too much and not trying to prove the team wrong, and that's why he played through his injury.
I just wanted to prove that, you know, they made the right decision, you know, obviously. So I just wanted to get out there and show what I can do, but, you know, I was hurt, but I don't want to make excuses. So I was out there, If I was good enough to play, you know, I can be evaluated on that. So, you know, it is what it is. I just want to get out there this year, you know, show what I can do.
Look, he deserves a ton of credit for that. That's the dog mentality, the dog competitor that he is. And look, Washington knew that they were trading for damaged goods. Hearing him speak like that, though, really puts more of an emphasis on what I've thought all along. The trade for Lattimore last year at the deadline was not necessarily about last year. It was about this year in the future. Because if Marshawn Lattimore can get back to being that all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber corner, I think it completely changes the dynamic of this Washington Commanders defense. Speaking of this Commanders defense, there's a position battle going on right now that I feel like is kind of not being talked about. That third linebacker spot. We know in base it's going to be Frankie Louvu, it's going to be Bobby Wagner. Who earns the linebacker three spot for the Washington Commanders? There are three dudes right now that I think are battling like hell. Jordan McGee, Kane Medrano, and Dominic Hampton. I think one of those three dudes will lock up that third linebacker spot. And here's the thing, right? From a big picture standpoint, how lucky is Kane Medrano as a first-year player? How lucky is Dom Hampton and Jordan McGee as a second-year player to be able to pick the brain of arguably a top 10 linebacker ever to play this game? Talking about Bobby Wagner. So I'm excited about it. Kane Medrano forced a fumble during Wednesday's practice session, punching the football away from Deebo Samuel. It was scooped up by Carlin Vigors. The defense went crazy. It was awesome to watch. Dominic Hampton looks visibly bigger, has really worked on his body to really put himself in position to be a linebacker. I don't think a lot of people are hip to Dom Hampton coming out of the University of Washington. This is a guy that was a captain for multiple years on that Washington Huskies defense. He's a big-time hitter. And I thought last year he'd be able to carve out a role for himself. Better late than never, though. 301-230-0980 is the number. Right here on the Chris Russell Show. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 p.m. And at that point, Craig Hoffman going to take you on your afternoon drive home. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I will continue to empty my Washington Commanders minicamp notebook, plus Laramie Tunsil with a response to me, of all people. That's next on the Team 980.
Wow.
Laramie Tunsil. I got multicolored rings like the opinions over course. Statistics, of course. I got some statistics. You've led the National Football League in false starts over the past several seasons. Is that a good enough stat for you?
You know what? One of my more favorite things happens to be about this whole situation, because you asked me to pull something up for on your Twitter about Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah.
And just 3 days ago, the tweet says, "Introducing Mr. Tunsil, safe to say, comma, he's in shape," all caps, "wow." And now, 3 days later, here we are.
This is great. This is great.
What a time.
I mean, look.
What a life we live.
Man. This is a great edit. I gotta give
him credit. It is a good edit.
This is a tremendous edit.
Give it a retweet.
I'm about to say, I am going to give it a retweet. Laramie, brother, if somebody in your camp is listening, look, I've already sent them a DM. I ain't scary, man. I reached out right away. You know what I slid in the DM and said?
Air it out. Sure, why not?
I said, it's all love, man. I got a job to do just like you. Point blank, man. It's no hate. I'm a fan at the end of the day. What, you want me to act like I hate Laramie Tunsil? That's never been a thing with me. I just had a problem with him not showing up to voluntary OTAs and not practicing the last 2 days.
I said this to you before the show, but beefing with your lookalike is crazy.
Well, yeah, that's some good geek, because there's a side-by-side out there. I don't even know if I've sent it to you. Someone did the Lord's work and put a side-by-side of me and Laramie Tunsil. I just can't get over how elite of an edit this is, man.
It's pretty good.
I mean, it's an elite edit. And then it's a fire song, man. Diplomatic immunity. I'm down for the cause, man.
Listen, team put good work in.
Look, Laramie, I know, you know, me and you, you know, like to participate in the same extracurricular activity. We might as well just have a powwow with each other, man.
I was going to say, you might as well post up a Rose Bar for a weekend.
You know what I'm saying? Catch me out on U Street. I used to do security on U Street when I first started working here. I was hustling, Mad Max.
Like when I was working at Giant when I worked
there.
Here
we go.
Trust me, I get it.
This is amazing. 301-230-0980 is the number. Every year, man, it's like something else happens. Let's get out to Jumbo in the Eastern Shore. What's chiming? What's going on, Jumbo?
Hey, Hey, good afternoon. Real quick, on OTAs, in my opinion, you always hear about, you know, some players not showing up. They either ought to make a mandatory or not have them at all. And as far as Lance, I don't know why the Texans want to get rid of him with a young quarterback. I know sometimes there's internal issues, whatever, with strikes. I think you'd want a player of his so-called caliber. And I just hope and pray he's not the new Albert Haynesworth.
No, that's the thing. Like, you're not going to hear me talk about him as a player. He's elite. Don't putting him in the same breath, or saying his name in the same breath as Albert Haynesworth is a complete...
slightly disrespectful.
It's a slap in the face to Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. Like, it just is. He could play 100%. Like, Shawty could play. I have aired out my concerns, my questions very fairly here. And I'll do it again here if you're just now tuning in. For him to not show up to voluntary OTAs and then get to mandatory minicamp and basically be a non-performer, a non-participant rather, it makes me raise my eyebrows. I have questions about it. When you're not participating in team drills, when you're not participating in, you know, individual work, and you're on the sideline working with trainers, doing sprints, you're either one of two things. I'm going to call a spade. You're either out of shape or you're hurt, both of which would have been a damn good reason for you to show your ass up to voluntary work. That's all I'm saying. I hope he goes out and has a tremendous year. That's the thing. Don't get it misconstrued. I feel like Chris Russell right now. I feel like the Rooster right now. Oh, hold on. Hold your horses.
Listen, you hit that chair 1-4. Something happens.
I'm telling you, boy. It's like something gets in you. But no, man. Like, I think he's... I hope he has a tremendous season. I really do. But I can't help but think about why they wanted to move on from Laremy Tunsil. I can't help but think about why the entire city of Houston kicked him in the ass and threw tomatoes at him on his way out of the door, yet he is this all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber player. I don't need him to be a leader here in Washington. I need him to show up and play for 17 to 20 weeks and help this team get over the hump. But if you want a contract extension, I think showing up to voluntary workouts would be a good place to start. Let's go to Athan in Annapolis. What's chime in? What's going on, Athan?
So I guess your next jersey I'm going to have to get you is a Laremy Tunsil jersey. I mean, dude, you got some serious skills, man, for a guy to be calling you out on Instagram. You've gone to a whole new level. I mean, I've told you before, you could know how to piss off a rock. But, but you also have to be mindful of your audience, too, because, yeah. I mean, while he is a great athlete and everything, this is the guy who put out the infamous weed video on his draft night or whatever. So audience.
He didn't put that out. That was somebody blackmailing him to put that out. And I don't hold that against him. Anybody out there to participate in Herbal Essence, you ain't got a problem with me. You don't got to hide your habits to me. I ain't judging.
Well, maybe you and him could hit the bong together talk about blocking schemes. I do have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
I do have a question for you. How has Ben Sinnott looked out there?
Dude.
Because I think he's going to be – go ahead.
Ben Sinnott
you're praising the boy.
Ben Sinnott had a really good touchdown catch from Marcus Mariota over Tyler Owens on Wednesday. He's been in a black non-contact jersey for whatever reason, but has been participating in everything. Hear that, Laremy? He may be hurt. He's wearing a different jersey color than everybody else. From what I've been able to pick up, it's a non-contact jersey, but he's had a good spring to this point. Dan Quinn, you know, singled him out in a presser earlier this week because he's had that good of a spring. I think for him – all of his issues last year, like physically, he's strong at the point of attack. We know he can run. We know he can catch. From the neck up, though, can Ben Sinnott lock in? And I think if he's able to, you'll see his role increased in 2025.
Well, the thing is, I mean, but you mentioned him and maybe Tunsil. What are these guys injured from? Stretching? I wish
it could
Doc
be something.
Walker
it could be something
today.
That it could be something that lagged over from the season. So I don't. That's the thing about injuries. You don't want to ever speculate too crazy, but I hear your point.
These guys have the best care. If they need MRIs, it'll be done within hours, as opposed to you and I and Max, who got to make a month in advance appointment. Yeah. So I don't want to hear any of that stuff. Okay, they got the best of everything, food and the whole nine yards. But my point is, Sinnott needs to emerge this year because if they could have him and Ertz,
yeah,
and if they get Terry 100%. Back on the field, this could be very dynamic to go with your boy Luke Turfwalker.
Luke, I like that one. There we go. So, wait, I came up with Luke Turfwalker, didn't I?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, you're the originator. You were kissing his ass while you were interviewing him, and then you turned back as the season went on. He couldn't catch a touchdown. But I'm letting everybody know right now, when we score with first touchdown of the year we score, it'll be your boy McCaffrey.
There we go.
Place the bet now.
Anthony, appreciate it as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend, man. 301-230-0980. Mark and Laurel, Chris and Largo, we'll get to you all after the break. Laramie Tunsil, can we play the diss track coming back from break again? I feel like I'm being ethered. This is like Ice Cube, no Vaseline. What's next here on the Team 980?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.